would help us to commence with hymn number 1008. Come, Holy Spirit, calm my mind, and fit me to approach my God. Remove each vain, each worldly thought, and lead me to thy blessed abode. Hymn 1008.
Let us read together in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 26. Chapter 6. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6. Beginning to read at verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein two his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. He said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof, and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things saith he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls and teach us to pray. Most holy and eternal ever merciful Lord God. We come before thee now, as thou hast favoured us to gather in thy house once more. And Lord, we come conscious of what we are, what sinners we are, how unable we are to do anything which is acceptable to thee. But Lord, we would now fall at thy feet, pleading that thou wilt grant to us this night the gracious aid of thy Holy Spirit, to one that speaks and others to hear. But Lord, we pray that the word might go forth this night in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And yet, Lord, thou seest and knowest us through and through, and we would not mock thee this night with a form of worship. For, Lord, thou knowest our hearts, the spiritual condition, and, Lord, thou knowest them that are thine. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having that seal. But, oh, as we gather now, may it be our great, our chief concern to be found amongst those favoured characters, those for whom thou didst lay down thy life and shed thy blood, that poor sinners such as we might live eternally. For Lord, as we have been reminded in the word that we read, of that which the Simon Peter uttered, Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And Lord, it is those words of eternal life we want to hear in our soul's experience, Lord, that we may know, that we may know that we are found in possession of that life. Lord, we come with the desire of the psalmist, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. For, Lord, thou knowest how poor, how weak, how foolish we are in and of ourselves. And, Lord, thou knowest what depraved hearts we have. Continually, Lord, thou knowest those sinful thoughts rising up within. We have no power to keep ourselves. Oh, gracious God, may we be brought to that place where the psalmist was brought, feelingly in his own heart experience. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Oh, may that be the experience of all of thy dear people here. For, Lord, we come with that desire to hear what thou wilt speak unto us. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt prepare our hearts to receive the word. And may the word be a living word to living souls this night. And if there are those that have gathered here unconcerned, untroubled over their soul state and where they will spend eternity, oh, gracious God, might this be the set time to favour Zion, when thou wilt come and visit those souls and bring them into a soul exercise and concern. Lord, it's thy work and it's thy power, and the time is short. We have constant reminders of it. Oh, Lord, may we be found truly at thy feet this night, confessing our many, many sins with that spirit of true repentance, godly sorrow, in our own hearts, but Lord, that we may be enabled to look by faith to the person and work of the Lord Jesus, the sinner's only hope, the ground of a poor sinner's faith, what thou hast done. Lord, leave not any of us to rest short or to be deceived. Lord, to be deceived by a presumptuous hope, a false faith. Lord, oh, may it bring us to soul examination as to where we are, what we know, where we stand for time and for eternity. Lord, we pray then, thou come and meet with souls this night, and oh, that there might be that done wherein thy name is honoured and glorified in the hearts of poor sinners. Lord, we pray now for all that have gathered. Thou knowest, Lord, every heart and every case. Thou knowest those souls that have come hungry and thirsting after that bread of life we have just been reading of, the dear Lord Jesus. And Lord, that may we may be favoured to feed by faith upon that bread. A Saviour's broken body, a Saviour's shed blood, and to see by faith in that great work a perfect atonement for our sins. But Lord, we seek for that precious gift of living faith in exercise in our hearts, that we may be enabled to lay hold of Christ, that we may be enabled to truly believe, and to be enabled to rest alone in Him and what He has done. Lord, thou knowest we come so far short. Oh Lord, undertake for us, we pray. And oh, that thou wilt visit then these souls of ours, pierce the gloom of sin and woe. Lord, we pray especially for the dear young people that have gathered. Lord, thou knowest their individual pathways. Oh, might it please thee to work mightily in their hearts in their youthful days. And may they know the quickening power of the Holy Spirit within, that thereby they may be brought to a soul exercise and concern as to where they stand in the light of eternity. And Lord, thou knowest those amongst those dear young people that are truly seeking thee, longing to know thee, fearing to presume, afflicted with many temptations of the adversary to their souls. Lord, we pray that thou might be a portion for those that have gathered this night amongst the dear young people, and may there be a word of encouragement to their souls, that they may be enabled to continue at the throne of grace, pleading with thee, that thou wouldest remember us, remember them in much mercy for Jesus' sake. And Lord, may there be amongst these dear young people those who are raised up to desire to follow thee in thy commands. And there may be found mothers in Israel amongst them, and pillars even in this house of prayer in days to come, if it is thy holy will. Lord, we pray then for those older in life, and thou knowest those who have to do with the heat and the burden of the day, often troubled, burdened with the cares and concerns of this life. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant to them thy upholding grace. But, oh, might it please thee, even this night, there may be truly that laying aside of every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And, Lord, may that desire to be found in our hearts to run that race set before us, looking unto Jesus. Lord, we pray for any in especial need. We especially remember those that are afflicted. Lord, we bear them before thee and seek that thou will remember them each in much mercy. Lord, thou knowest where thy afflicted ones are, whom thou art dealing with in thy divine sovereignty and mercy. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt sanctify the path to them and to those near and dear to them. But, oh, may they see thy hand in it all, and may these things fall out to the furtherance of the gospel and the glory of thy great and holy name. Lord, we pray for the spiritual prosperity of this little cause of truth. Lord, oh, do richly bless thy people here, and oh, do use thy servants as thou dost send them to them, and may the word oftentimes be used of thee in the hearts of poor sinners, Lord, that there might be those words of encouragement given, those tokens of thy love and mercy to their souls. And, O Lord, might thy dear people know those precious sealing times of the Holy Spirit in their soul's experience. Thou knowest those that are longing for it, those who have gathered this night in a sweet anticipation that if it could please thee, that thou wilt meet with them and meet their case. Lord, oh, might it please thee to remember us this night, unworthy though we are, but, Lord, that thy name might be honoured and glorified, and there might be that precious fruit brought forth to thine honour and thy glory. We pray for those who carry the responsibility here. Remember them in much mercy. Grant to them continually thy upholding grace. And, Lord, we pray that oftentimes, doubtless, they are cast down. We pray, Lord, that they may know and feel thy presence with them. And, Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant them thy strength to continue. Lord, we pray for the spiritual prosperity of this little church. Lord, do bless each member of it. And, Lord, we pray that there may be a lengthening of the cords and a strengthening of the stakes here, a breaking forth on the right hand and on the left, if it is thy holy will. Lord, thou hast done great things in this place in years gone by. Oh, might it please thee, Lord, to still bless souls in this place, that they may be brought to testify of thy love and mercy to their souls. We pray for those not here this night. Thou knowest what detains them. Some, Lord, that watching over little ones. And, Lord, some who feel too sick to gather, we pray for them, and thou wilt remember them each in much mercy. As they gather here Sabbath by Sabbath, Lord, may souls be fed in this place. We pray, O Lord, For all thy true sent servants, thou knowest where they're labouring this night. O Lord, do come. And thou knowest our insufficiency, our spiritual poverty, our ignorance. Lord, thou seest what we are, but we come depending upon thy mercy, upon thy grace, that thou will come and fill our seed baskets. And Lord, that the word this night might be blessed and have free course and be glorified in this place. Lord, we pray for any in a special need, and thou knowest those tried and tempted ones. And if there are those that have gathered here feeling to be the ends of the earth in their experience, Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near unto such. Make thyself known to them, we pray. Draw them to thyself, and oh, that they may behold in thee all their salvation and all their desire. Lord, thou knowest what thou wilt do. We commit them, each one, unto thee. We pray for Zion, thy one church, our own little group of churches. Lord, we are minished and brought low. And Lord, is it not our many sins and transgressions? For there is a cause. O Lord, do grant us grace to lay it to heart, that we may be given that spirit of wrestling prayer, that real confession, that softened heart. Lord, that thou wilt come in thine infinite mercy, and despite all our many sins and transgressions, that thou wilt yet appear and turn Zion's captivity and build once more Jerusalem's walls. Lord, the work and the power is thine, but Lord, we would ever praise thee, for thy people are eternally safe. Their names are graven upon the palms of thy hands. Their walls are continually before thee. Lord, we believe it. Oh, might we feel it experimentally in our own poor hearts. For Lord, thou knowest those in whose heart that desire is found. Oh, that they may know that they are found in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank thee now for all thy mercies and favours to us. How kind and gracious thou hast been, far better to us than ever we could ask or even think. For truly thou dost not deal with us according to our sins, or reward us according to our iniquities, but still we're the subject of many mercies, and we pray to be given a spirit of real gratitude. And now as we turn to thy word, do come and open up the truth to us. Lord, deliver us from each from a wandering mind. Keep the enemy to our souls outside the door. And may we now enjoy a few moments of contemplation in thee and what thou hast done. Lord, do pardon now all our many, many sins, and all that we have asked amiss, as we would plead once more the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 727. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. I'd spread my wants before his face and pour my woes abroad. Hymn 727.
The word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening, as the Lord will enable me, you'll find in the chapter that we read in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6 and verse 37. The 37th verse of the 6th chapter in John's Gospel. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. How precious are the shalls and wills of the everlasting covenant of our God. And the Lord's people, as they read these precious promises that are contained in God's word and enabled to plead them at the throne of grace for the fulfillment of their, in their soul's experience, they will know how precious these promises are, but oh, to see that it's alone through his divine sovereignty, who said, I am that I am, and who says, I will and thou shalt. My dear friend, we have to do with an absolute God. What he says must be performed. And what he is, the Lord's people will know in time and certainly in eternity. And we have such two precious shalls and wills in the word before us. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, beloved friend, this word contains the church of God. Every one of the Lord's people, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that they should be found holy, without blame, before him in love. It is those characters whom God set his love upon in eternity past to display the wonders of his grace in time, in their lives here below. It's those and those alone for whom he sent his beloved Son into this world, the dear Lord Jesus, to come, to redeem their souls from hell, to atone for all their many, many sins, to make them righteous, not in themselves, but in his righteousness, as they are brought to know their only hope is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for a poor, hell-deserving sinner. These are these characters whom the Father set his love upon. He gave them to his beloved Son for a purpose. It was to fulfill that covenant engagement while he was here below, to live a perfect life, to have the sins of the whole election of grace laid upon him by his Father, and for God the Father to pour out his wrath upon his beloved Son on account of the sins of his people. And in his body and in his soul he endured the punishment due to his people for their sins. Now, beloved friend, these are the precious truths of the gospel. And I suggest to you tonight that most of you, I hope all of you, know those truths, at least in the letter of them. For you hear them set before you many, many times. But, beloved friend, if you're a child of God, you're going to know those truths experimentally in your poor heart. And that is alone through the work of the dear Holy Spirit. That time, that set time, the Lord has appointed from eternity past, wherein that chosen vessel, that one whom he had set his love upon from eternity past, that one who came into, the one that came into this world to save his people from their sins, you're going to know it. First of all, your need of him. I say, beloved friend, do you feel your need of the Lord Jesus. You know, if you're a quickened soul, you'll feel your need of him every day of your life. Because you know, we should be brought to see this solemn truth. This, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The words of the Lord Jesus in prayer to his heavenly Father in John 17. And so, beloved friend, if you and I are going to be found in possession, or are found in possession of eternal life, there's one thing we shall know. We shall know something of what God is. And to see that he is an infinitely holy God, a just God. But, oh, beloved friend, glory be to his great and holy name. He's a merciful God. He said he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. He'll have compassion upon whom he will have compassion. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And beloved friend, if you're amongst these chosen vessels, you'll know that call by grace in your soul's experience, it is this, beloved friend, to see a little of what is in your own hearts, what your sins deserve, to a realization that God is infinitely holy, that sin is abhorred by him. He cannot countenance sin with any degree of allowance whatsoever, and to be brought to a realization that you have a sinful heart, destitute of all that is good, and to realize in that state you're found in, as you're brought to a realization of it, that without God's mercy, your soul will perish forever. Solemn truth, beloved friend. But you see, if we're ever to know this way of salvation, if you and I are ever to reach heaven at last, we shall know something of what our sins deserve, but we shall know something of that wonderful provision that the Lord Jesus, that God has made in the person of his beloved Son, as he came into this world to save his people from their sins. Well, my dear friend, can you trace that concern in your poor heart tonight? Is it a concern to you, beloved friend? Or have you merely gathered in the Lord's house this night out of a form? It's the night, the chapel service, without any real concern in your poor heart as to where you are and whether you possess a good hope through grace. Well, you know, beloved friend, because you'll know, because if the Lord has quickened you into divine life, there'll be a great change wrought in your poor heart. And there'll be that concern found there as to where you will spend eternity. Well, my dear friend, such is the path of the Lord's living family. Painful to the flesh it is, causing you much trouble and concern. Because you see, when the Lord brings home to you and me our sinful condition, it will bring us into soul trouble. That is that great concern with eternity before you, where you will spend eternity. Is that your concern, beloved friend, tonight? Is it that which you carry around with you daily? How stands the case with thee, my soul? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus Christ thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Well, my dear friend, if that exercise is found in your heart, or perhaps there may be those dear young people here tonight who cannot say it clearly, but deep down in their heart they have a concern and they long to know these truths. You know, often the work of grace in the heart of a child of God has very small beginnings, brings them to stop and consider. And there's something they find in their lives that brings them no longer more any content or pleasure. It's to a realization there's something that they do not possess, which others possess. And you see that which you long to possess is found alone in the Lord's, in the hearts of the Lord's people. Now the word in our text says this: all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And dear friend, you that are truly seeking him, those who have a longing desire after him, you cannot be satisfied with the dying things of this world. Perhaps once you thought you did, but oh, now, it's different now. There's something else that concerns your soul. And you know, if you're a seeking soul, beloved friend, the Lord will bring his dear people to seek him as they see there is that they stand in need of that they cannot obtain only through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. And they come seeking for mercy. Well, dear friend, another question. Do you feel your need of mercy? Are you conscious of what a sinful heart you have? Are you conscious that without that mercy, how solemn it will be in that last great day? Well, my dear friend, the Lord brings each one of his dear people first to know their need and brought to seek after eternal realities. And yet you fear so often to presume. You come into the Lord's house tremblingly. You fear taking anything to yourself. Although the word may seem so suitable to your case, but you want the Lord to speak the word into your poor heart. Well, my dear friend, the word in our text is a sweet word of encouragement to a seeking soul. And it's been an encouragement to many of the Lord's people. I was going to say thousands over many years. And it is those souls who come cast down, troubled, burdened, wondering where the scene will end, fearing to presume. This word, my dear friend, the Lord speaks to such characters. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And my dear friend, if you and I are amongst the Lord's living family, you'll know this. That's just what you and I deserve on account of our many sins and transgressions. You see, the Lord is drawing that one to himself. How many gracious exhortations are contained in God's word for those souls who are seeking him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, those labouring under guilt, those trying so hard to improve themselves, perhaps by diligent reading of God's word, attentiveness which you've resolved to have when you gather in the Lord's house to hear the gospel preached. And oh, there's no profit. All your feeble attempts seem to come to nothing, don't they, my dear friend? Well, that's what these characters are doing. Labouring and are heavy laden. Well, my dear friend, the Lord will bring his dear people in to know their case, to know their condition, and to be brought by the dear Holy Spirit with indicted prayer in their hearts. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Has that cry come forth from your heart, beloved friend? Has it come forth from mine? You know, it'll come forth from an exercised soul constantly, daily, I believe. The hymn writer puts it like this, doesn't he? Daily, I'd repent of sin, daily wash in Calvary's blood. They feel their sinnership, they feel their need, they feel to know, the desire to know the cleansing power of that blood in their hearts and consciences. These are these characters, my dear friend, who come to the Lord Jesus. They see there's no help, no hope outside. There's no hope in themselves. There's no hope in their own works. There's nothing there to encourage them. It is to see this, that if ever my poor soul be saved, then Christ must be the way. Are you there, beloved friend, tonight? Is that your exercise and concern? Oh, you say, I feel so troubled. I feel so perplexed. I fear to presume. I'm often assaulted by the enemy to my soul, telling me to give it all up. It's no use. The Lord is not a favour toward you. You might just as well go back. And that's one thing you just cannot do. My dear friend, why? Because the dear Lord is upholding you and maintaining you and enabling you to continue seeking for mercy. And you know, sometimes that cry for mercy comes forth from a heart. I was going to say, from the first time until the Lord speaks this sweet word into their heart. It may span over months and years. But what is taking place in the heart and your heart? It's emptying you and me out of all self and all that is of the creature. He's delivering us from those false props, leaning upon an arm of flesh. That's what is taking place, beloved friend. You know, the old ministers used to speak of this, didn't they? The stripping room. Stripped of all hope in self, but to come, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And that, dear friend, is how you will come, is how you must come. There's no other way. It's that way which is well trodden by countless others in days gone by, and will ever be so. Because it is this, if ever We are going to know those gospel blessings, those things that you covet, you long to know and possess. You're going to come empty, helpless, undone, having nothing that is of your own, no religion of your own, and it's to cast our all upon God's mercy in Jesus Christ, the path of all of the Lord's living family. Now it's to these characters that this word is addressed. Him that cometh unto me, all that the Father giveth me, shall come to me. It's a certainty, isn't it? If the Lord has begun that good work in your heart, and you're truly seeking him, and you know your heart, I know that seeking often ebbs and flows. And perhaps that's a great trial to you. Sometimes you feel your need, at other times you don't. You feel almost indifferent and careless about it. But beloved friend, you're learning this truth. None can keep alive his own soul. It is alone by the work of the Holy Spirit he is sustaining you and maintaining you in that path and will bring you to that place, to the foot of the cross, and there to feel to be nothing, to feel to be a poor sinner with that desire to look alone to the person and work of the Lord Jesus. And to see in that great work which was accomplished there is to see your salvation. Is it your desire, beloved friend? Do you long to know it? The word says, him that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Does that include you, beloved friend? Can you say that you desire to know the Lord Jesus? Can you truly say that you know, that you have found within your heart that which is not there by nature? Those desires which come forth from a real need of Christ? Well, dear friend, that need will be satisfied in his time and his way. But you see, the only way to salvation and the only way to heaven is through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's to him you will look and I will look. There's no other way, beloved friend. Oh, you may be seeking some other way. You'll never find it. Is to come looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of that little faith in your poor heart. You believe he is able. We have many evidences in God's word. The leper said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what was it the Lord Jesus Christ said? I will. Be thou clean. Precious will, my dear friend. God's will toward his dear people. You see, he did. The Lord says this, didn't he? Thou shalt be my people, and I will be your God. And that is that lesson you're learning by the work of the dear Holy Spirit. And when God utters those shalls and wills, they must and shall be accomplished. They cannot fail, beloved friend. If the Lord has spoken to you one of these precious shalls and wills, and if he came to you tonight and spoke this word into your poor heart, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And tremblingly, fearingly, you say, I hope, I'm one of those seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my dear friend, if you're in the first part of the text, you'll be in the second. That's certain. Because you see, when the Lord says, utters a precious shout, it follows, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise, under no circumstances, under no conditions, I will in no wise cast out. And beloved friend, although you feel to be perhaps cast out in your soul's experience, as you feel so poor, so barren, so sinful, this word, my dear friend, if you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the throne of God's mercy, and plead with him there that he'd have mercy upon you for Jesus' sake, you'll know the fulfillment of this word before us. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, this word has been spoken to many of the Lord's living family who have been found seeking him. It's a sweet word of encouragement to continue. To the Lord, he raises up a hope in your poor heart. That the Lord has a favour toward you, that you are the subject of his mercy. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And beloved friend, as you come, plead this precious promise before the Lord. Plead his word. Tell him that he's spoken it. You know, he loves to hear his people plead those words that he has spoken by way of a promise. Because you see, there's a precious evidence if you do. There's faith, living faith in your poor heart. Ah, you won't feel it to be what your soul longs after. But it's a word of sweet encouragement. You might be enabled to continue praying unto him, pleading that the Lord would remember you. Yes, it'll stir up an increasing exercise in your heart to know his will. You'll find there too a tender spirit, a broken heart, a contrite spirit. You know, when the Lord speaks to a poor sinner, there's one effect that it has, and that is it humbles them. Conscious that they do not deserve anything at his hand, and to see that a holy, infinitely holy God and just God should so condescend to look upon such a sinful wretch as you feel to be, and speak this word into your poor heart. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, beloved friends, some of you have been in the way for a number of years. And have you not proved the truth of this word, beloved friend, again and again? Perhaps there are those times when you've had to plead at the fulfillment of it because you feel so low in your soul's experience. You find guilt lays heavy upon your heart. You've sinned and you fear and tremble. Yes, you know, beloved friends, the Lord's people know these paths because we sin continually. But there's one thing, they come pleading with the Lord that he'd fulfill this word, but he'd come and visit them with his salvation. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now some of you have proved it, haven't you, beloved friend? You've proved it, haven't you? The Lord has heard your cry. He has come and delivered you in all your distresses. That time when you came to the end of everything in your soul's experience, and perhaps you came into the Lord's house feelingly for the very last time. You've come seeking that the Lord would speak into your poor heart, maybe over many years, and yet nothing seems to the Lord. He hasn't spoken you that word that you long to have. Son, daughter, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. But beloved friend, you know, you've proved the truth of this word, haven't you? Until he comes, then you'll know the blessed reality of it, not cast out. Beloved friend, we read this, don't we? I think it's in Isaiah 41. We read this, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Wonderful word. If he speaks that word into your poor heart, beloved friend, I believe you'll know something of true rejoicing, because you'll know who has done it. And that is a little too of that, of what it has cost the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came to stand in a poor sinner's room and place instead, that blessing might be yours and mine. Is it the hymn writer says, every grace and every blessing, every grace and every favour comes to us. How? Through Jesus' blood, his sacrifice, his sufferings, all that he passed through, that perfect life he lived, as he laid down his life and uttered those words, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. Salvation's work was complete. That soul eternally secure, God reconciled to a poor sinner through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is this one, my dear friend, you're found seeking after, and it will be through your whole life and mine, I believe. And what it'll be, that desire of the Apostle Paul, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship in his sufferings, to be made conformable unto his death. That's the desire of that soul, wrought upon by the dear Holy Spirit, raised up to a hope in God's mercy. Their one desire is to know this precious Christ, to know and know that they have an interest in him and what he has done, and to know him, his love, his compassion, to know his faithfulness to his word, to know the efficacy of that precious blood applied to our sin-stained heart and consciences. And it is, my dear friend, to know him in those offices which he holds, Saviour, Redeemer, the sinner's advocate, the high priest, the prophet, priest and king, a king to rule, a priest to intercede, a prophet to teach. And you know, if you're quickened into divine life, the dear Holy Spirit will make you and I teachable. He'll cause our hearts to be receptive to his word. And there'll be found those living desires after him. Believes that the Apostle Paul, his one desire, wasn't as he preached the gospel, it was this, he desired to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I believe that's the mark of all of the Lord's true sent servants. And you know, it's the exercise of the Lord's living family. They want to know him and to be found in him at last. And we find then the Apostle Paul, as he spoke of his own experiences, he said this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, these souls, these coming souls to Christ, those who are seeking after him, they'll be pressing toward him. Oh, there'll be much that opposes, much that we find as unbelief within our own heart, carnal reason working, the enemy to our soul seeming to obstruct everything. But press you are, press you will, and press you must for that glorious prize, and that prize is Christ, to know him. Well, my dear friend, it's these characters who know the fulfillment of the word in our text. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Well, I leave the word with you. May it be an encouragement to some poor, weak, seeking soul this night. And if the Lord would speak it into your poor heart with power, something will be done. And my dear friend, let us ever remember, when the Lord speaks, he speaks to his dear people in love and mercy. There may be words of reproof. There may be those words whereby he seeks to make known to that child of God that he is displeased with them. But let us remember this. All that he speaks is love and mercy, through love and mercy to their soul. And if the Lord has spoken this word into your poor heart and mine, it's a blessed token that you're amongst his children. Although you haven't got what you want, that which you long to lay hold of and desire after, my dear friend, here is a word your faith can anchor upon in anticipation as you plead on at the throne of grace, that in the set time that the Lord has appointed, he'll visit your soul and grant to you that which you long to know and possess, that is, to know Jesus Christ and him crucified for you. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parish will preach next Lord's Day. And there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. And God willing, Mr. Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek, but seek in vain? Shall I ask and not obtain? Hymn 964.
Thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening, but that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our hearts. Watch over us now as we part, grant journeying mercies, be with us through the remainder of our little lives here below, and prepare us each for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.